Seldom in our past has there been a party congress of the National Party for which so many expectations were raised as this congress in Natal. Some of the reasons for this are evident. For example, the partial emergency situation in less than 14% of the magisterial districts of the Republic of South Africa. Other reasons are more sinister, such as the motives of those who have put words in my mouth in advance. The constitutional future of the black peoples in South Africa is of such a nature that it must be determined in consultation with those concerned. We cannot confront them with certain final decisions. Over the years, that was exactly the criticism against our government, that we make decisions about people and not with them. Now suddenly I'm expected to make the decisions for them. Ek het vroeër 'n aanhaling van Langeoven gebruik. Ek wil hom weer aanhaal. Hy het ook geskryf in een van sy wyshede: as ons voor is, kan ons vir die tyd wag. As ons agter is, wag hy nie vir ons nie. Free translated more or less as follows: if we are ahead of time, we can wait for it. If we are behind time, it does not wait for us. Our relationship as a multicultural society in South Africa, no spirit of defeatism or hysterical actions will help us to be on time. We must deal with our relationships and accept future challenges in a balanced way and with devotion. And furthermore, with exports rising strongly and interest rates falling, the domestic economy should move into a new upswing in 1986. The so-called economic fundamentals are therefore at present very favorable in South Africa. Many of the present perceptions of the South African situation overseas are, of course, quite erroneous. Nobody would deny that we face problems. Nobody would deny that we will have to find solutions for those problems. But every country has. I was in the north of our country, and there I had to experience that people were flocking from Mozambique into South Africa in their tens of thousands to this bad country. How do you explain that? Do people flee to hell? We have such a vast task ahead of us and such great challenges to create a better future that we can ill afford the irresponsibilities and destructive actions of barbaric communist agitators and even murderers who perpetrate the most cruel deeds against fellow South Africans because they are on the payroll of their masters far from this lovely land of ours. I have the knowledge because I get the facts. As head of this government, I am in a position to tell you tonight what the facts are. No government in this country or elsewhere in the world can solve all the problems in each country in a given time. But despite our human weaknesses and our limited powers as human instruments, we can attempt to be on time. We shall need the closest cooperation of the private sector. I hope they will stand up and be counted, as they did in the past when I called upon them for their cooperation. When I was Minister of Defence and the world started an arms boycott against South Africa, I called upon the private sector to support the government in providing our own arms, which they did successfully. And I now make an appeal to them again. Let us stand together for South Africa, not for any other interest. I now wish to deal with some other aspects of our national life. It is my considered opinion that any future constitutional dispensation providing for participation by all South African citizens should be negotiated. But let me point out at once that since South Africa freed itself from colonialism, funny, isn't it? Still living in the colonial system. I say freed itself from colonialism. Democracy has already been broadened, and millions of people who never had a say in governmental affairs under the British colonial system have it today. We believe that our peace and prosperity is indivisible. We believe in the protection of minorities. Is there anybody in this hall who would get up and say he's not for the protection of minorities? Let me see how such a fool looks. We must be practical in this regard. But I know for a fact that most leaders in their own right in South Africa and reasonable South Africans will not accept the principle of one man, one vote in a unitary system. Such an arrangement would lead to domination of one over the other, and it would lead to chaos. Consequently, I reject it as a solution. Secondly, a so-called fourth chamber of parliament is not a practical solution. And I do not think responsible people will argue in favor of it. We must rather seek our solutions in the devolution of power. And in participation on common issues. If you don't like my way of thinking, if you don't like the direction I'm going in, it is the right of the Party Congress to state whether they agree with their leader or not. I'm not prepared to lead white South Africans and other minority groups on a road to abdication and suicide. Listen, my friends, listen. Destroy white South Africa and our influence in this subcontinent of Southern Africa, and this country will drift into faction strife, chaos, and poverty. They seek to create unbridgeable differences between us to prevent us from negotiating peaceful solutions to our problems. Peaceful negotiation is their enemy. Peaceful negotiation is their enemy because it will lead to joint responsibility for the progress and prosperity of South Africa. Those whose methods are violent do not want to participate. They wish to cease and monopolize all power. Let there be no doubt about what they would do with such power. One has only to look at their methods and means. Violent and brutal means can only lead to totalitarian and tyrannical ends. Their actions speak louder than their words. Their words offer ready panaceas such as one man, one vote, freedom and justice for all. Their actions leave no doubt that the freedoms that we already have, together with the ongoing extension of democracy in South Africa, are the true targets of their violence. If the type of government is really such a wonderful example that they wish to have, why do they not organize the investors of the Western world to invest in Lesotho, to invest in Mozambique? Why do I have to appeal to people to invest in Mozambique? Why don't they invest in the dictatorships of Africa? I have a specific question I would like to put to the media in South Africa tonight. How do they explain the fact that they are always present with cameras, etc., at places where violence takes place? Are there people from the revolutionary elements who inform them to be ready? Or are there perhaps representatives of the reactionary groups in the ranks of certain media? My question to you is this: whose interests do you serve? Those of South Africa or those of the revolutionary elements? South Africa must know. South Africa must know. Our life is at stake. I now wish to deal with another matter raised by people who put pressure on South Africa from outside and from within. From certain international as well as local quarters, appeals are being made to me to release Mr. Nelson Mandela from jail. I stated in Parliament, when put this question, that if Mr. Mandela gives a commitment that he will not make himself guilty of planning, instigating, or committing acts of violence for the furtherance of political objectives, I will in principle be prepared to consider his release. I am now referring to his attitude, not yours. But let me remind the public of the reasons why Mr. Mandela is in jail. I think it's absolutely necessary that we deal with that, first of all. When he was brought before court in the 60s, The then Attorney General, Dr. Yutar, at the time, set out the state's case inter alia as follows, and I'm quoting only a few sentences. As the indictment alleges, the accused deliberately and maliciously plotted and engineered the commission of acts of violence and destruction throughout the country. The planned purpose thereof was to bring about in the Republic of South Africa chaos, disorder, and turmoil. They, Mr. Mandela and his friends, planned violent insurrection and rebellion. The saboteurs had planned the manufacture of at least 7 types of bombs, 48,000 anti-personnel mines, 210,000 hand grenades, petrol bombs, pipe bombs, syringe bombs, and bottle bombs. And then, during that court case, a document was produced in Mr. Mandela's own handwriting in which he stated the following. We Communist Party members are the most advanced revolutionaries in modern history. The enemy must be completely crushed and wiped out from the face of the earth before a communist world can be realized. In passing sentence at the time, the judge officiating at the court case, Mr. Justice De Wet, remarked the following. The crime of which the accused have been convicted, that is the main crime, the crime of conspiracy, is in essence one of high treason. The state has decided not to charge the crime in this form. Bearing this in mind and giving the matter very serious consideration, I've decided not to impose the supreme penalty